I've come over all 1994. My feed time. Yes, indeed, on a Friday. A pop culturista extraordinaire, Brodie Lancaster, joins you. She's liking that description.
It's a new one.
There you go. She's a writer, an editor, and critic. She's just written a new book. Tell us about your new book.
It's called No Way, Okay, Fine, and it's a memoir of pop culture, feminism, and feelings, which is what the title says.
In which
it's like a collection of essays and stories from my life up until last year.
No Way, Okay, Fine. That's Brodie Lancaster's book. You can follow her on the Twitters, of course, at Brodie Lancaster. This is a really beautiful little bit of video that you can find on your internets, people. NPR, it's the public broadcaster in the US. Now, they have a wonderful music series called Tiny Desk, the concept of which is that people come into their office and play music. Tell us who we're going to hear.
So this is Chance the Rapper. And Chance's band is called The Social Experiment, so Chance the Rapper and The Social Experiment. And he did a Tiny Desk concert. It was shorter than the ones they normally do. They're usually about 40 minutes long, but this one was just a couple of songs and a poem that Chance wrote on his way to the NPR offices.
That's the kind of guy Chance is.
Chance is such a good guy. And he's also like a musical genius. Like his record coloring book came out, yeah, last year and is just really fantastic. It's like kind of gospel, hip-hop. It's amazing. He's so great.
We should hear a bit. This is Chance the Rapper from that NPR Tiny Desk recording.
We used to roll at the rink. We used to roll at the rink. I used to talk way too much. You used to know everything. You couldn't stand me. I couldn't stand you. You said I'm steady playing. But you steady playing too. Your big brother footwork. Your place is to juke. The rink was the play button. That space and time I was too young for you.
Chance the Rapper from NPR's Tiny Desk. Brodie, that's sort of one of those. That sometimes you listen to music and you kind of realize what a simple thing music is.
Mm.
It's tiny little elements can come together to make something incredibly exquisite.
Yeah, Chance is like, I feel like he kind of conducts as he performs. Mm. Like that was a really stripped back version of a song called Duke Jam that is like a lot more kind of like hyped and up-tempo on the record. But when you watch him perform live, he's like kind of, you can't see me because I'm on the radio, but like gesturing and like conducting all these like incredible musicians around him. And he just brings it all together with his beautiful, sweet voice.
Yeah, and those are the bits that make up the tune.
All the little bits.
He did a poem, as you say. We need to hear some of that.
I still have keys that are of no use to me. They used to, though. On the other side was a mansion on a hill, complete with LA pools and fireplaces, and a rim made specifically for people that lie about being 6 feet to dunk on. Where a piano was for decoration, and an old record player was actually for the hose. I was never awakened by the twisting of a doorknob. Benzos kissed me goodnight. The bars finally stopped working. They used to, though.
A poem by Chance the Rapper, written on the way to his session to NPR in the car on the drive over. That's probably why it didn't rhyme.
Brodie. Yeah. Just a bit of train of thought. Yeah, he's spoken a lot about this period of his life where he lived in LA and was living with other musicians and doing a lot of drugs. And it was before he kind of like found religion again, which is like a big part of his work now, which I think he, you know, refers to in that song, talking about benzos going to sleep. And now it's the doorknob that wakes him up because he has a young daughter who's kind of, he credits with like his life being what it is now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That change.
Yeah, that's some context for you. Yeah.
Look, another big, 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 big thing on the social medias and elsewhere this week was the piece that Yasmin Abdul-Majid, look, it's a piece she wrote for Griffith Review, but before the whole Anzac Day kerfuffle, but she retopped it with a little piece and had it up in The Guardian this week as sort of a farewell as she heads off to other parts.
It was, yeah.
Punchy thing.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, it's not easy to read someone talking about being kind of raked over the coals by the Australian media for the better part of the last year or so, for having something to say and saying it on like kind of very public platforms.
Well, and it's just not just your common old garden internet trolling. This is the orchestrated mass media brutalizing pile-on of people who should know better.
She said it was something like 50,000 words had been written about her.
90,000. Yeah, in 3 months.
Different newspapers and websites. And, you know, a really sad thing to read is that she kind of has to say this was after Q&A but before Anzac Day and that her life has been, like, bookmarked by these quote-unquote controversies that have kind of spawned from things she had to say.
It says a lot about her public culture, you know. And she says, in this piece she's saying, do I tell my parents what my life is really like, you know, that I get death threats on a daily basis? She says that I have to reassure my parents that I'll be fine when maybe I won't be.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to her for writing this piece because I think a lot of the time people excuse online behavior because it's just the internet and, you know, as though it doesn't have an effect on people's everyday lives. And Yasmin is, you know, proof that it has a huge impact on the way you can kind of live safely.
Proof that the internet is full of people who, how to describe this? This is a video from someone in New York who can, a deep skill, chop a cucumber into triangles. Tell us about it.
Oh, okay. So this is the third thing on my feed.
Yeah.
And I actually sought this one out. This didn't pop up in my feed because
you went looking for this.
Well, I went looking for Bon Appetit's videos because Bon Appetit, the food magazine in the US, has this amazing YouTube channel that I watch as though it were a TV channel. It has great series, but they did this episode with a chef from a restaurant in New York who I guess specializes in like raw, fresh cooking, quote unquote cooking.
This is terrible.
It's kind of a recipe, I use that word lightly, for chopped vegetables. It's crudité, which, you know, we have when it's like celery sticks and carrot that you dunk into hummus or something. And so she clearly has this fancy restaurant. And so she does these fancy chops on her vegetables. It reminds you of how Nigella Lawson recommends you chop your potatoes for Christmas.
Important also to have vegetables that no one's ever heard of as part of that.
Oh, which ones hadn't you heard of?
No, I don't know. That's just me.
Jicama.
What's that?
It's like a kind of, it's almost like a fruity potato. Like, it's like a little bit starchy, it's white, it's crunchy, and when you pickle it, it's really delicious.
Okay, so if you want a recipe for fancily chopped fruity potatoes, Bon Appetit is the place to go.
Yeah, so I think it's really funny, just mostly because the title of the video is like, how to chop crudité, and all the comments were like, this is just a video of someone chopping vegetables, and it's like, yeah, that's what it said. That's what crudité is.
Brody Lancaster is giving us her feed. We've had Chance the Rapper, and we'll put the link to that NPR video on the Drive site here at RN. Bon Appetit, Yasmin Abdel-Najeed. It remains, Brody, for you to give us a quick recommendation. It's a podcast you want to flick our way.
Oh, yeah. My current favourite podcast is called Kardashian It, and it's a kind of chatty, conversational podcast about the Kardashians, specifically the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
What the world needs now.
Yeah, it's a great show. I really love it. And so it's hosted by these three close friends in LA, and they are all kind of in the comedy scene in different ways. And Keeping Up with the Kardashians, as all your listeners will know, had the season finale a few weeks ago.
Of course.
So currently they're not doing their weekly recap episodes, but they've been doing really interesting episodes since. So
I sensed a certain hollowness in my life, and now I know why.
Yeah, now you know why. You can go. You've got 13 seasons to go and catch up on, plus the offshoots.
Brody, my work is now cut out for the weekend. Thank you for your feed.
Thank you.
Brody Lancaster, she's a writer, editor, and critic. She has a new book. It's called No Way. Okay, fine. And you can follow her on Twitter @BrodyLancaster. Drawing Rooms next.